Well, hi there, folks. Welcome to the program brought to you, of course, by Midas Gold Group. MidasGoldGroup.com. Now is the time to put your money into precious metals. If there ever was a time, with all the chaos we're seeing in the world, with inflation going up, you got other countries now using their own currency instead of dollars. Could it be the end of cash? Put some money into gold. My friends over at Midas Gold Group can help you. We're proud for their sponsorship. MidasGoldGroup.com, MidasGoldGroup.com. Folks, I'm here to tell you, I'm just flabbergasted by what's going on in Washington. You've got Speaker McCarthy, who pushes through a bill, and God bless him, he pushes through a bill through the House of Representatives that increases the debt ceiling. Now, you know, I am not a fan of increasing the debt ceiling. I think we should have held firm. But from a political standpoint, I understand what he did. He now put the onus on Joe Biden to negotiate. Joe Biden seems to be refusing to negotiate. There's some signs that maybe he's coming around a little bit to talk about all of this, but all of it goes on Joe Biden. Now the negotiations are laid at the president's feet, the so-called president's feet, because Republicans did what they needed to do. They passed a bill that would keep the government open, that would keep our ability to operate continuing. So what does Joe Biden do? He says it's not enough. Of course, they want to spend more, more, and more. You know, our country is in such dire financial straits right now. We've got long-term unfunded liabilities that are like twice the size of our economy. I'm talking about Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. These unfunded liabilities are larger than our economy put together, okay? Our debt is at $32 trillion. That's the amount of money we owe as a nation. Our deficit is at about $1 trillion, $1.2 trillion, depending on who you ask. That means we spend more than $1.2 trillion than we take in. And yet the Democrats don't see the need to cut spending. So I put pen to paper. I started researching what we spend money on, where the waste, fraud, and abuse comes from. Where are the government programs that we could cut, which would have no effect on Americans and a big effect on our financial security as a nation? And I came up with, you ready for this? $1 trillion in cuts. Now, that number is important. I came up with $1 trillion in cuts because our deficit is $1 trillion. So if I can do this in literally, I don't know, it took me 45 minutes to an hour to find this stuff. If I can do it, you would think Washington could do it. So I wanted to go through some of these cuts for you as I spell out what Speaker McCarthy needs to do. You're not going to hear this anywhere else. No one's coming up with real ideas. Even the Republicans just said they had a number they want to cut. They haven't even come up with real programs they want to cut. I do this like no one else is doing. That's why you guys tune in to Stinchfield, and I appreciate it. Please spread the word on this podcast. So did you know that in 2020, state and local governments lost about 1.4% of revenue. Now, we were told COVID was the worst thing ever. We shut down economies, we did things, but in the end, the state and local governments only lost about 1.4% of revenue. That amounted nationwide to a $21 billion loss for state and local governments. But the federal government is obscene in its ability and its quest and its desire to dole out money to state and local governments. The federal government is a slush fund for state and local governments. What happened to federalism? We shouldn't be handing so much money back down to the states. Let the states handle their own business. Now, with COVID, I understand the federal government wanted people shut down. They take a responsibility in this. So if you lose $21 billion in revenue, maybe I'd be okay with, let's give back the state and local governments $21 billion. Sounds like a lot of money, right? No. Do you know how much the federal government gave state and local governments in 2020 when they faced a revenue shortage of $21 billion? The federal government offered them $661 billion. And you wonder why we're in debt. You wonder why our deficit is now out of control. We gave them $661 billion when they were running a $21 billion loss. Now, folks, here's the real catch in all of this. Many of the states we gave money to were running a surplus at the time, meaning they didn't need federal money. So I live in Dallas. If Dirk Nowitzki's retired, I love the guy. He's a multimillionaire, the NBA star for the Dallas Mavericks, who was so instrumental in such success that the Dallas Mavericks had. If I see Dirk Nowitzki out at dinner, he doesn't need me to buy him dinner, okay? The $200 I spend to buy him and his wife or whoever he's with dinner is a deck chair off the Queen Mary for a guy that's got probably hundreds of millions of dollars. Now, I could buy a homeless guy dinner. He could use the money. What the federal government did is the equivalent of buying Dirk Nowitzki dinner. Why are we sending states with a surplus this kind of money? We shouldn't be. It encourages bad behavior. By the fourth quarter, many of the states in 2020 were operating with a $100 billion surplus when you add it all together. They had a surplus. We sent $661 billion out. So when I say this encourages bad behavior, it encourages state governments, local municipalities to spend money where they shouldn't because they're getting free money. It's like the grandparents that give the kids $100 on Christmas, excuse me, on the phone, who give the kids $100 on Christmas, and the kids just spend it on garbage and junk because they have the $100. This is literally what state and local governments were doing. They were acting like children when it came to spending. So I came up with a plan to cut special interest slush funds. You don't even need to cut all of them to get to the $1 trillion that I want to cut. But you see some of that COVID money we spent. A lot of it was unspent, but earmarked for the state local. You could claw back a lot of this COVID money. That would save money. McCarthy's plan does that. But I don't know if you ever heard of the Commodity Credit Corporation. It is a program run by the U.S. Department of Agriculture that spends $30 billion annually. The Secretary of Agriculture runs that program, no matter who is president. So Republican, Democrat, whatever. This has been around for a while. The appointed Secretary of the Department of Agriculture runs this $30 billion slush fund. He spends the money on whatever he wants. Right now, under Joe Biden, they're spending $3.1 billion on something called the Partnership for Climate Smart Commodities. Now, these are dubious policies that expected results are dubious. And we're spending $30 billion annually out of the Commodity Credit Corporation. Shut the whole thing down. We don't need it. That's a savings of $30 billion. Okay. Tyson Foods under this program, by the way, got $152 million. What does Tyson Foods need $152 million for? This is what I mean when we talk about corporate welfare in America. Let free markets take over. The best make money, the worst go out of business. We don't need the federal government giving one of the largest food processors $152 million. All of it is an end run around Congress. Congress is supposed to control spending. Yet when it comes to the Commodity Credit Corporation, the Secretary of Agriculture is deciding where he wants to spend $30 billion annually. Do away with it. And do away with it altogether. We've got foreign aid that is out of control. I don't need to go through all of it. You could literally save hundreds of billions of dollars in foreign aid that we're spending where we shouldn't. Even Joe Biden admitted that in the $100+ billion we sent to Ukraine, over $100 billion. That's 10% of our deficit. Of that, they were bailing out the Ukrainian pension program for state and government employees. What is that? We don't need to do that. Now, that's just Ukraine. What about all the other countries? That's $100 billion. I guarantee you we could take back $200-300 billion right there in foreign aid that wouldn't be missed by Americans and wouldn't sacrifice national security. And maybe, just maybe, some of these foreign nations have to chalk up some of their money on their own. Okay. Now, there's another program that we spend $30 billion on that was started in 2003. We spend $30 billion annually on this program that doesn't need to be done. I'm going to tell you about that program in just a minute. But before I do, I want to tell you about my friends over at Patriot Mobile. PatriotMobile.com is the website I want you to go to. PatriotMobile.com/Grant. When we talk about a parallel economy, Patriot Mobile is the quintessential company I'm talking about. They're the only Christian conservative wireless provider out there. So if you like any of the big three network service, this is great. You have a performance guarantee with Patriot Mobile. You can operate on one of the big three networks, but you're paying Patriot Mobile for their customer service, which is 100% U.S.-based. And trust me, they're great. I've used them. And you get 4G, 5G networks. Here's the best part. If you use the promo code GRANT, you will get free activation. PatriotMobile.com/Grant. You can call them at 878-PATRIOT. 878-PATRIOT. Again, free activation today with the promo code GRANT. You do not sacrifice service. Trust me and my son. I made the switch. He said, Dad, you are right. Patriot Mobile is great. PatriotMobile.com/Grant. All right. I talked about foreign aid. We know Ukraine. We've got other stuff when it comes to the military. I'm not even including the amount of money we give NATO and those organizations. But we have a $30 billion emergency plan for AIDS relief. $30 billion for an emergency AIDS relief plan. Now, this was created in 2003 when AIDS was probably still an emergency. I'm not convinced AIDS is an emergency anymore. And as I look at this program, the government's spending a lot of this money on woke causes, not on AIDS relief. Let's shut the program down altogether. To give you an example of how much money is going, South Africa gets $464 million just under this AIDS relief program. Zambia, $372 million. All the way down to Malawi, $175 million. And I didn't name about eight other countries that are getting all kinds of money under this ruse of emergency AIDS relief. Let's reassess the program. I say close it down. This is about big pharma's big profits. We are not facing the same situation 20 years later in 2023 than we did in 2003. We should be shutting this stuff down. You know, as I look at why we need to cut money and this dire straits that our nation is in, if you look at a child born today in 2023, their share of the national debt is $78,000 and growing. By the time they are 18, the share of the national debt will be $143,000 for each American born in the United States today. That, folks, is insanity. Can you imagine strapping a kid by the time he's 18 with $143,000 in debt? Now you say, oh, that's the federal government. It's not. It's our government. It's our kids. At some point, you got to bail it out. At some point, the whole system comes crashing down. It's not funny money. The Democrats want to treat it as funny money, but it's not. At some point, our debts come due. So when you look at what I'm trying to do here is cut $1 trillion so we don't run a deficit anymore. We get to a revenue neutral budget. Right, where we're spending what we're taking in. You have to look at waste, fraud, and abuse as well. And man, oh man, there is no other organization than the federal government that specializes in waste, fraud, and abuse. Did you know that each year we spend $247 billion on improper payment errors? This is not even fraud. This is improper payment errors based off of accounting problems. So you got vendors with the federal government. We're paying them more than we should. All kinds of payments coming out of the federal government. $247 billion in improper payments. We can't rein that in and get that under control. Of course we can. We just have the wrong people looking at it. $1.7 billion. Okay. $1.7 billion we spend on empty government buildings. $1.7 billion. Now, that's a big chunk of change on empty buildings. Two things should happen. Either we should be renting out the buildings and making money off of them, or we should sell the buildings and not maintain them anymore and let somebody else take them. If we took all of those buildings and sold them off, the empty buildings, I think you'd have a boon for America. Literally, billions of dollars would flood into our coffers just sell the empty buildings we're not using. When you look at some of the subsidies that I'm talking about, we spend $70 million a year to subsidize New York's Staten Island Ferry. Now, why are we subsidizing New York's Staten Island Ferry? New York should take care of its own ferry. It's moving New Yorkers back and forth from Staten Island to Manhattan Island. Why is the federal government, why is me in Dallas, Texas, why is my money going to pay for a ferry in New York, which is highly used? If it's not profitable, I don't know how that could be the case. I'm sure you could have a private company go take over the Staten Island Ferry and it would be profitable. You don't need government money. Yet, we're sending them $70 million a year. I talked about fraud, $36 billion in fraudulent unemployment benefits. You can't tell me we can't create an artificial intelligence system, seeing that they're so hot on AI, even though it scares me to death, to spot fraudulent unemployment benefits, a computer program that could spot this? I guarantee you we could. $36 billion. Democrats continue to tell us they can't cut spending, and yet I'm laying out all kinds of money where we can cut spending. I found this program, too, in an article I read. Americans for Prosperity talked about site-neutral payments when it comes to Medicare and Medicaid and the payments the federal government makes to hospitals are far greater than the payments it makes to independent providers, whether that's your local clinic or it's maybe a dialysis center, a chemotherapy center. If you're associated with a hospital for the same service, for the same treatment, you get sometimes two, three times more than you get in an independent provider. Why are we paying hospitals that much money for the same treatment? We lose $140 billion a year annually because we pay hospitals more than we pay independent providers. Why don't we just pay the hospitals the rate that we're paying the independent providers? Here's what's happening. The hospitals see this disparity. See this. I don't even think it's a loophole. I actually think it was designed. I think it's crony capitalism. And I think it's putting big pharma, big medicine, big profits over patient health. So the hospitals see this. The politicians see it. And so the hospitals are now going out and buying up all these independent physician clinics. They're buying them up. Three times as many have been bought now over the last 2 years than just 3 years ago. The hospitals want them. Why? Here's why. If you have a dialysis center and you're making $1 million a year off dialysis, off of these payments. Now if Baylor Hospital Systems or Presbyterian Hospital or whatever goes in and buys that dialysis clinic, now it's under the name of Baylor. Doesn't even have to move the clinic. The revenue just goes from $1 million to $2 million, and they didn't change expenses at all. Of course the hospitals are buying these things up. And the federal government wants to know why unfunded liabilities in Medicare and Medicaid are sinking us. It's because of stupid rules like this. Why are we paying hospitals twice as much for something individual clinics can do? Let the hospitals do it, but they get the same rate as the clinics get. $140 billion we save from that. That, folks, is a huge, huge percentage. And these are the same services. You're talking about chemotherapy. You're talking about colonoscopies, cardiac imaging. I mentioned dialysis. These are all things that are happening every day across America, thousands of times. And we pay two, three times more because a hospital's performing it than we do if a clinic is performing it, when it's the same service with the same equipment, with the same quality of doctors. It makes no sense. This is the kind of stuff that outrages me. Why aren't we talking about that? So just in this little bit, when I talk about clawing back to COVID, when I talk about cutting back on federal spending to state and local municipalities, especially ones that are running surplus, when I talk about foreign aid, when I talk about slush fund programs run by secretaries of agriculture and other agencies, guess what I got to, folks? I got to $1 trillion. Again, what have I been doing this podcast for? 20 minutes, exactly. 20 minutes, I get to $1 trillion. You got Kevin McCarthy and Joe Biden sitting down for hours and they can't come to an agreement. And this stuff was easy right here. This is why our nation is in chaos, which is why I want you to pay a visit to my friends over at Midas Gold Group. When I tell you that Russia, Brazil, many of these countries are literally using their own currencies instead of using American dollars, I'm wondering, is it the end of cash? We got a digital currency on the way. Privacy is going to be gone when it comes to your finances. Why don't you put some money into gold? You can store it in your gun safe. You can even use gold to put in your IRA. My friends over at Midas Gold Group can help you do this. A precious metal IRA is a great way to invest some of your finances for a portfolio protection system. So I hope it is not the end of cash. I hope it's not the end of financial privacy, but I don't want to take the risk. So I myself am putting money into gold. You should see if it's right for you. Go pay my friends at Midas Gold Group a visit. MidasGoldGroup.com, MidasGoldGroup.com. 805-601-6000, 805-601-6000, MidasGoldGroup.com. That is the number, 805-601-6000, MidasGoldGroup.com. You can also call them at 855-322-GOLD, 855-322-GOLD for toll-free. MidasGoldGroup.com, MidasGoldGroup.com. All right, as I leave you here today, I want to talk just briefly about the WNBA. Brittany Griner, remember the woman that was arrested in Russia and we did a prisoner swap to get her back? This is also the same woman that was kneeling for the national anthem, same woman that hated America. Well, she has her first game in L.A. over the weekend, and the coach was complaining that they didn't fill the arena. Well, why didn't they fill the arena? I would offer up that they didn't fill the arena because nobody wants to watch WNBA players. It's not as exciting as the men's NBA league. It just isn't as exciting. I don't think it has to do with because they're women. I think it has to do with because the speed of the game isn't as fast. The strength of the game, the bumping, the grinding, the movement isn't as fast. It's not as strong. The flying through the air with the greatest of ease is not as entertaining when it comes to women as it is with men. And I compare highlights. So this is why people didn't go to the game. Yet WNBA players complain that they're not being paid as much. Steph Curry makes $48 million a year. Brittany Griner makes $225,000. And these WNBA players crow that it's not fair. Well, I would offer up it is fair. Your average fan base is 5,600 per game. The NBA averages 18,000. Your average TV viewer audience, 379,000, versus the NBA audience at 1.6 million per nationally televised game. Think about this. The WNBA, 379,000, my Real America's Voice show probably has more people watching than a nationally televised WNBA game. And I can tell you it's a lot cheaper to produce Stinchfield on Real America's Voice than it is to produce a WNBA game. There has to be at least 50, maybe 100 employees for TNT or ESPN to put that program on. For 379,000 people, you're not making any money. Oh, wait, not making any money. Go figure. Well, Brittany Griner and the rest of the WNBA women want to complain that they're not being paid fairly. Last I checked, in a free market society, in order to make very handsome salary, you have to make handsome profits. They don't make handsome profits in the WNBA. In fact, the past 25 years, and I can't believe it's been around this long, they have lost money every year. 25 years of losing money. 2018, the last number I saw was $10 million a year they lost, and they're wondering why they make so much less than the NBA. The NBA took in $8 billion in revenues last year. $8 billion. WNBA, $200 million. And that was an increase of 200%. They doubled their increase. So I guess 100%. They doubled their increase. So you have the WNBA doubling their revenues to $200 million, which is a lot. Still losing money, by the way, versus the NBA at $8 billion. And you wonder why Steph Curry can make $48 million and Brittany Griner makes $225,000. It is a fan base. Lastly, I will tell you, and as an anecdotal story, I went to Dick's Sporting Goods with my son to go jersey shopping. He wanted an NBA jersey. There's like two Luka Doncic jerseys left. Of course, we're in Dallas here. The Mavs are king. Two. Of all the racks, there's only two Luka jerseys left. The WNBA rack, we had the pick of the litter. There's like 80 freaking jerseys there. Nobody's buying WNBA jerseys. And if nobody's buying your jerseys, and if nobody's going to the games, and if nobody's watching your TV games, you're not going to make any money. And if you're not making any money, you're not going to get paid big salaries. So they should be lucky they get what they get, that this league is even still in business, losing money every year for 25 years. You know how they stay in business? The NBA subsidizes them. You know what that's called? Charity. God bless them. If they want to enact in charity, engage in charity, then so be it. That's what the NBA is doing to keep the WNBA alive, a league that nobody really wants to watch. Hey, folks, do me a favor. Pay my friends over at Midas Gold Group a visit, at Patriot Mobile a visit. And you know, my buddy Mike Lindell over at MyPillow, please, please visit MyPillow.com. He could use your help right now. And I'm telling you, his products are amazing. The Giza sheets, I have them. I tell you this all the time. They are my favorite sheets, and the price is perfect. The slippers, I got my mom for Mother's Day. She loves her slippers. And then, of course, the MyPillow. Up to 66% off of many of these products. Use the promo code Grant at MyPillow.com/Grant. MyPillow.com/Grant. Use promo code Grant. That's going to do it for this edition of Stinchfield. Don't forget to check us out at GrantStinchfield.com. Subscribe to the podcast. Please, I urge you, share this with your friends. Get them to sign up for the downloads on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcast. Helps my download numbers, which helps us spread the word of Stinchfield's army, which continues to roll thanks to all of you.